Then Peter addressed Jesus, saying, Lord, it is good for us to be here. My dear parishioners, those words of St. Peter are the inspiration for us to have our 40 hours every year this weekend. And I'm sure that to the degree that you participated in the 40 hours, you too echo what St. Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. My dear brethren, what did we do this past weekend as we made holy hours and visits, assisted at Holy Mass? We were praying. That is exactly what we were doing, spending time in prayer. One of the questions that comes up about prayer is, God is unchanging. And since I can't change God, why do I pray? It's not like I can change His mind. It's not like somebody here on earth, if I nag him or her enough, I'll get that person to go along with me. God is unchanging. He always was, always is, and always will be the same. No change. No changing of His mind. So why pray? Well, there are two very good answers, I believe, to that question, why we pray. And the first answer, my dear brethren, is that prayer changes us. Even though we can't change God, change His mind, whenever we pray, we are becoming better. We're becoming more virtuous, a little less sinful, a little less full of faults and failings and selfishness. We're always moving in the right direction when we pray. We are changing ourselves. And there's a second answer why we pray even though God is unchanging. And that is that our prayers really do make a difference. In the sense that from all eternity, God knew the prayers that we would pray. And so even though we're not changing His mind now, in a sense we made the difference long before this universe ever came into existence. God already knew then all future events. God knows all possibilities. He knows everything. So He can know that you would have put forth, if you want to be mathematical about it, say, 1,000 prayers for this intention. And because you persevered and prayed 1,000 times, God said yes. If you had quit before that, you wouldn't have gotten that yes. So you see, we're not changing God now, but we are, in a sense, changing Him from eternity. It does make a difference. We have to be reminded, my dear brethren, that there's always one of three answers we get from God. And that is yes, no, or later. God says yes every time when we have an important critical need, when we're in temptation, when we need that immediate assistance from God, cry out to your Heavenly Father, and He does and will hear you every time. There can be no doubt about that, especially when you're fighting off a temptation. As a matter of fact, St. Alphonsus says this is why we must pray when we are tempted. The reason why we fall into temptation is because we aren't praying at that time. So God does say yes. Now, if we're asking Him for something that's not good for us, our loving Heavenly Father says no. He would not love us if He gave us something that would drag us down spiritually, that would hurt us spiritually. But He's good enough that if He says no, He will actually give you something better if you persevere in your prayer. And then our Heavenly Father also knows what tremendous good happens when He waits a long time, sometimes, to say yes. And that's where that later comes in. You know, this is where I love to point out the story of Saint Monica. As you know, she was the mother of a wayward boy, grew up to be a great sinner, fell into heresies. She did not give up praying for him. And God knew that she would persevere for 30 years in prayer. And as she's persevering in those 30 years, she's changing herself. Instead of being Monica, she's now becoming Saint Monica because she does not quit on her prayers. What if she had quit after 10 years? Offering up her prayers, her tears, her sufferings, her good works, her penances for Augustine. What if she had quit thinking, 10 years is a long time. I can't do it anymore. What if she had quit after 20 years? That's even a longer period of time. What if she had quit after 29 years? Of praying for Augustine, the loss would have been indescribable. Because she persevered for 30 years, and because of that, her son not only was baptized, but became a monk, a priest, a canonized saint, a doctor of the church, and one of the greatest teachers in the history of the Catholic Church. That would have been lost if she had gotten discouraged in her prayer and gave up. So, my dear brethren, think about that when the discouragement starts to set in, when the difficulty, when the perseverance is, your perseverance is flagging. Remember, prayer is always changing you for the better. And also, it does make a difference. It always does. Just not in ways that we always feel or will realize. We also have to realize, my dear brethren, that by this time we spent in our Lord's presence, it didn't just help us spiritually, it even helped us physically. I recall reading from the book on the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass by Blessed Leonard of Port Maurice. And I can't remember the saint that he was quoting, but he believed that when we are at Mass, we physically do not age. And I'm sure you couldn't prove that scientifically, but some saint, maybe it was a revelation, that whenever you are at Mass, your physical health is benefiting by being present. You're not aging. I'd like to believe myself that that's true. But I can point you to something even more convincing, and that is Holy Scripture. We read about the woman who was troubled with a serious ailment. I believe it was a hemorrhage of some kind, an issue of blood. And as I recall, she had it for 38 years. And one day when our Lord is walking through the crowd, and of course it's very hard to get to him because there's so many people crowding in on him, she jostles her way, pushes her way, despite her infirmity, to get to our Lord. And she's thinking, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And so she's able to make her way with difficulty, I'm sure, to our Lord. She touches the hem of his garment, not his person, just his garment. And of course, our Lord then it says, "Who touched me?" Of course, he's being jostled by everybody. But he knew. He's God. He knows all things. He knows that this woman is touching him. And he allows that to be the healing of that ailment that she had had for many years. So she didn't even have to touch him. And she got the physical blessing that she was praying and hoping for. My dear brethren, when we come into church, we are very close to our Lord. And when we receive him in our own hearts and souls, we're not just touching the hem of a garment. He is one with us. He is physically within us. Not just spiritually like he is everywhere, but physically. His sacred heart is beating within us as it beats in the tabernacle, as it beats in the sacred host. So my dear brethren, the more our faith grows, the more we realize how privileged we are every time we come through those doors to enjoy, to benefit from the spiritual and temporal blessings that flow out upon us. It all depends on our dispositions. If we walk in here with poor dispositions, we can't expect to receive very much. We have to do our own part. We have to be prepared. We have to want to be here. We have to make acts of faith, hope, and charity. We have to walk through those doors with meaning, realizing that we're about to enter the Holy of Holies. And as our faith grows more and more, my dear brethren, we also realize how abysmally wrong these new changes were in the liturgy. Why we completely reject all of those innovations that made the Mass, made the liturgy more into a social function, turned churches into theaters and halls and places of entertainment. As a matter of fact, that very word was used. If we don't entertain our young people, they won't come. We don't need to be entertained. That's not why we walk through those doors. We walk through those doors because this is Almighty God. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're not looking to be entertained. Away with all of those innovations. We reject them. That's not what worship of God is about. Yes, we do receive blessings from him, spiritual and temporal. If we believe God is here, that's all we need to know. And our prayer is according to that. This 40 hours has hopefully revitalized our faith in the real presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. Hopefully it will carry us through the year. And of course, with the Feast of Corpus Christi and Holy Thursday, those are also tremendous revitalizers of understanding how blessed we are. There's a phrase, I can't remember which psalm it's from, but it says, no nation has its God so close as we do. The pagan religions would have never dreamed of receiving their idols under the form of food and drink. But this is the invention of Jesus Christ, that he would change bread and wine into his body and blood, that he would give priests that power, and that he would say, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have life in you." Humanly speaking, it's too good to be true. But we believe it because he said so. And so let those words transform your life. Keep renewing your faith. Jesus, I believe that thou art there in the holy sacrament of the altar. As I said, let's hope our faith has been revitalized. We'll look forward more to each Mass, to each visit we can make, to a holy hour that we can make in the presence of our Lord, each Holy Communion. One last point, and I would like to remind you that our faith also involves the mediation of Mary. Even as we speak of our Lord and Him being in the sacrament of the altar, it is by His will that He distributes His grace through Mary's hands. And so this is why I would like to ask you, as you pray before our Lord, that you do so in union with our Heavenly Mother. Because wherever Jesus is, there is His Mother, spiritually. She's not here physically, but she's here spiritually. And He is pleased to give His graces through her. So, you see, if we pray in union with Our Lady, if we have this greater devotion to her, the more graces we are apt to receive. I want to quote something from Pope Leo XIII's encyclical from, I believe it was 1884, or maybe 1894, I'm not sure the exact year, but he says, he's quoting St. Bernardine of Siena. He says, "Every grace that is communicated to this world has a threefold course. For by excellent order it is dispensed from God to Christ, from Christ to the Virgin, and from the Virgin to us." So even as our faith in Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament is revitalized, let's remember our faith is also Marian. God wills to distribute His graces through Mary. So let us grow in our devotion to our Lord as we grow in our devotion to Mary, and think of being in union with Mary as we offer our devotion, our worship, our love to our Lord in the sacrament of His love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.